Okay. My talk today is about fellowship through service, which whenever you do a topical set of lessons like this, and we didn't have like secret notes that we were passing back and forth between who's doing what, so you're going to have some little encroachments here and there. I suppose from my perspective and others that are presenting, and maybe you as an audience, like, oh, all right, they're all on this, like, people are on the same page. You're kind of coming to the same conclusions, and we're seeing the same things at different times and in different ways. So hopefully we'll pull some things out that we've talked about a little bit already, but dive into a couple different topics as well as we think about how we're expressing our fellowship by service and serving each other. So a couple things that we've already talked about today with a quick recap. We talked about koinonia, and then the other word I'm not sure how to pronounce, metochi, is another word that's used for that of fellowship. And we talked about this, right? It's communion, partners, companions, this sharing a common interest where we're all coming together for this shared purpose. As Josh said earlier, we're all in this for the same thing. We're in agreement with what we want to do, and we have this common goal. And oftentimes, well, what is the common goal that we have? If we're all in this together and all for a common goal, what is the goal? We all want to be with Christ. We all want to get to heaven someday. That's the ultimate goal that we're all aiming for. So that's the thing that we're agreeing upon and coming together around, and we know what that looks like. So we have to find ways that we work together, that we come in and surround each other and do the things that we need to do so that we can achieve that goal. I think it's always, reflecting on my work at times, I every year have to come up with a goal that I have to achieve. It's a lot harder to achieve that goal if I'm just staring at a screen and like, oh, here's the things that I wrote. What if I tell the people that I work with and let them know, hey, here's what I really want to do. Here's what I'm trying to achieve. How much easier it might be for them to know or for me to know what they're trying to do so that, oh, I know that now. So I have the information where we have a common understanding of what we're doing and what we want to achieve together. Of course, at large organizations, you have kind of general things that you're trying to achieve, which can sometimes like, well, how do I really contribute to making that happen? But at least you know what that is and can find ways to work together and to collaborate. So the awesome thing that we have is we know what that overarching goal is that we're trying to achieve. But we maybe don't know exactly what's the best way for us to work together to achieve that. If we're in this, we know that we're in it together, but what role can I play or should I play to make sure that I'm keeping us in that fellowship and making sure that we're having that, how we come together. Something else to think about is fellowship is, I guess in some ways, I guess, as I was studying and looking through this, it's like when James talks about, I'll talk about this on the next slide, but a little bit about faith and works. Faith is shown by the works that you do. It's an outward, your works are an outward expression of what your faith is. So if I'm in fellowship with you and you're in fellowship with me, we can have that, as we talked about earlier, that spiritual side. But the way that I express the way that I'm in fellowship with you is how we interact with each other and how I'm serving you and what I'm doing to make those things known to you. Just as we saw Paul doing in the New Testament, often as he was with the churches that were there, he was interacting with them, helping them outwardly showing those things that are happening. If you look in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." So you're taking care of one another in that instance. And fellowship, it can be a state of being. You either are in it or you're not. You're either with Christ or you're not. So we have to have that agreement. We have to be coming together, and it's not. It's it can be compared maybe to friendship, as we talked about earlier. I know that somebody is my friend by the way that we interact with each other and the way that we're treating each other. It's kind of hard to just do friendship. I don't know, what is it to do friendship? It's hard. It's a state of your standing with somebody else and the way that you treat one another. At the same time, although we are here together spiritually, we're spending time together, as Josh just talked about, we have that fellowship. But does that mean that we have true fellowship, or the fellowship to the degree that it should be, if we're not doing things together outside of this place and finding ways to help and assist one another along the way? And what we've talked about so far and continue to emphasize now is Christianity is a whole life event. It's the entirety of your life. So fellowship, in the same way, should be a whole life event. We just talked about how much they spent time together in the common meals with one another, and in Acts how they were with each other all the time, doing things together, just continuing to enhance the fellowship that they had with one another, and it was evident to everybody in what they were doing. So, as I mentioned, service is one of the outward expressions, or an outward expression of what that fellowship is. So it's not just an activity that we do, but it's an expression of that fellowship that we have with God, because we want to serve as God has told us to do. But it's also then how we're interacting and showing our fellowship with one another. As I mentioned before, I think of it as I've been looking through it a little bit, like with James, where you have to have faith and works coming together. Without faith, you can't have works, and your works are going to be dead if you don't have the faith. You don't have the faith to go behind it. You need both of those things together. So, as James said in 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." If I claim to have fellowship with you, but I'm not showing you that fellowship, then I probably don't really have the degree of fellowship that I think that I have and I want to have with you. So when we serve one another, it gets this demonstration for our love for God and for one another. In Galatians 5, 13 and 14, Paul says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" So here we're called to serve each other in that way. We also have, if we want to build fellowship, it's serving one another is going to help us to strengthen that bond that we have together and help us better achieve that goal. Serving one another means we're going to be spending more time together, and so it's going to continue to build the fellowship that we have. It's a little bit like lifting weights or working out. The more that you work the fellowship muscle in the way that we're expressing and working with one another, the more that we're going to understand that and become even better at how we interact with and be able to help one another. But we have to be able to create these opportunities and have things come together so that we can learn from one another and support one another in the works that we're doing. We'll talk in a little bit that we, in serving one another, it's I have to know a little bit about you and who you are so that I can appropriately serve and help you in those ways. So you have to still have, so it is about building those relationships. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to serve to the best of my ability to you, and to build that relationship and the fellowship that we have with one another so that, again, we're all moving together towards that common goal. So it helps us grow in understanding, and it allows us to better understand that some of the gifts and abilities that we have as well, and allows us to shine some of those gifts and abilities that we have that God has given us to be able to help one another. In 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 8, Peter says, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." He says to be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So we're to be hospitable, but when we have that a gift that God has given us all gifts that we have to be able to serve one another, so we are supposed to do that in a way that makes us good stewards of those things. Okay, so how is it expressed? What does it look like? What can service look like for us in our just everyday, the things that we're doing and how we're able to interact with one another? So I'm going to talk four different areas. Presence, not like a gift. Oh, it's a gift to be with one another, but not C-E-N-C-E. All right. Partnership, which I had the word encouragement here, but when I was looking this over again this morning, I thought I had three P's and one E, so I had to find figure out a better word than encouragement. Well, not a better word, but a different word, so we could go with the four P's of fellowship here. Presence, partnership, provisions, which I know is not an everyday word for people necessarily. And then finally, I'm calling it practicalities. So we'll dive into these a little bit. So trying to keep it simple, the best way to eat an elephant, right, one bite at a time. We'll just do a few things at a time and start to build on that. If we haven't been serving, then we got to all have to start somewhere. I'm going to give you some options, some things to think about, and how that's going to build each other up in our fellowship. All right. So also want to think of this as well. I look Romans in chapter 12. I think is some helpful verses for us as well. I'm going to talk here and also in First Corinthians about. We're all the one. Josh mentioned 1 Corinthians 12 earlier. I'm going to go a little bit earlier in the chapter, where in a little bit here, that we're all working together as one body. So we have that. So as a body, we are coming together. We already have that built in, built together. So Romans 12, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So we all have opportunities that are going to be set before us. And it's not necessarily that we're going to have to, that we can do all of these things, or maybe there's things that were a little come a little easier to us, or things that are a little more challenging, but those can be things that we can stretch and try to do a little bit better. But it's, again, it's thinking through and looking at options and opportunities that we have to be able to build our fellowship together. Okay, so the first item is presence, which, as I was thinking about some of these different opportunities, just being there for one another is an incredible way to serve each other. I don't know, how many times, or sometimes Valerie hears my venting about, you know, things at work or whatever, but just having somebody there who is present with you, who will listen and understand. I don't even need a response all the time. I just need somebody who is going to be with me, especially if I'm going through something that's challenging. Those of us who on occasion have a little stay in the hospital or something, or at home or difficulties, just having somebody who's there can provide you with a little bit of extra strength that boosts you and can help you move to the next level, or at least kind of maybe get you back on track. So it can always provide us that strength. If we think to Ecclesiastes 4:12, we have that strand, the cord of three strands is not easily broken. If we're continually getting together and providing that support for one another, it's going to allow us that opportunity to build those bonds that we have that are going to be harder for us to break. But being together also helps strengthen us because we can grow with one another. We're able to share stories, to learn more about one another. And I don't know if you've heard the term getting a flywheel going. Is it familiar to anybody? The thing that just starts perpetuating and building momentum, all of these acts of service, as I was thinking about it and looking at it, you start doing a few of these and it just kind of starts to build some momentum, because the more you're going to get to know somebody else, the more that they're going to get to know you, and that just helps kind of bring things together in a more meaningful way. So it also can help remind, being together can also just remind us of the available strength, and just a reminder of who, reminding each other of who God is and the role that He has had in our lives. It's a way for us to be able to share in our faith with one another, to help build each other up. The world is a difficult place, and it's being there and just having that presence with one another is going to help us to overcome those things. It also provides just an opportunity to give comfort if somebody's going through some difficult times. It allows us to be able to, again, just to make sure we're there for people when they need it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." God has comforted us, and we can serve others by sharing that same comfort with them when they're going through difficult or trying times. I kind of mentioned this already, but it gives us a chance to further enhance our connections by being committed to one another. The spending time with each other gives us that chance, again, to learn, to grow, to better see what are the ways that I might be able to serve even more than I'm doing now. And that could be one-on-one. It could be multiple people coming together. It just kind of depends on the situation and the different things that might be happening. But we all have different roles that we can play as we're coming together and being there for one another. In 1 Corinthians 12, as we're all this, all one body, but we're different members. We have different roles that we can play. So as we are with other people, we can think about that role that we can play. Maybe I'm the ear. I need to be there just to listen to you. Maybe I'm the hands. I can be there to help out with those instances. But there's a quote that I read that said, in the church, it is not the greatness of the parts, but the union of the parts that makes it glorious. So it's about how we come together, and being with one another gives us a chance to build some of that muscle. Okay, partnership, which is similar to being with one another, but it's really how we encourage each other and build one another up. When we partner together, it's a key part of building that fellowship, when we are able to encourage and especially lift one another up going through difficult times. But again, I have to have that relationship with you to know when you need specifically lifted up. But no matter what, we can always be encouraging to one another. As Paul told the Thessalonians, you're doing great, but let's excel even more. Let's challenge each other to do even more than what we're doing now. I need somebody who's going to spur me on, not to, stroke an ego, but it is good to recognize people for the good things that they're doing, and I want to be able to spend time with you to do that, and then, prodding each other along so that, again, we have this common goal, the thing that we're trying to achieve, and it's when we can spend time encouraging one another, serving each other through encouragement, that's going to allow us to do that. And certainly, aiding and healing as we have our brothers and sisters who are going through any type of difficult time. And it doesn't have to be a tragedy. It could be just stress at work. It could be stress at home. Anything like that, that it's affords us that chance to be able to serve by being the Barnabas of the group and going out and making sure that we're offering that that encouragement to others. It also allows us to continue that progression. So if I'm serving you, I'm helping to build you up, and you can help build me up at the same time. It's hard for me to be built up on my own, but spending time with you, serving, coming to the needs that you have, we had that opportunity to work together. So as in Galatians 6, Paul told them, in specifically in verse 2 there, to bear one another's burdens, and we're fulfilling the law of Christ. So I need to help you out with the burdens that you have in your life. And then later on in verses 9 and 10, he tells us to not lose heart in doing good, because in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. And then while we have opportunity, we're supposed to do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of the faith. So we are to help others, to lift them up, to encourage them to offer that level of service. Then in Hebrews 3:13, we're to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I know there are some text encouragers that are in here who send a little message to people of all different ages at any point in time. So that is an act of service, sending a little note of encouragement. I know there's others who are way better than me at sending cards to one another to help and offer that level of encouragement. But it all really, those are all great, but not always not a direct substitute for that one-on-one time that we could be having with each other to really spur on and offer that encouragement. Less than a couple months ago, talked about how Satan is real. He is always trying to attack us. He's looking for those weaknesses. And it's through this being together, this spurring one another on and coming together, that's going to help us overcome that and not give Satan even a foothold that he's going to be able to have to be able to impact us or to affect us. And we think about both the presence and this partnership aspect or the encouraging aspect. Typically, I don't know what the right, I've heard this, or the number might be wrong, but you're a product of the handful of people that you surround yourself with on a regular basis. That's probably pretty true. And maybe it's your family, you're around your family a lot, so you're kind of a product of your family. But if you're in school, at work, and other situations, or any extracurriculars, you're probably going to, if you're around people who are not following Christ, as we talked about before, about yoking ourselves with unbelievers, you're more likely than not, it's going to be hard to not take on what those characteristics are. So we need to be serving and being with one another so that we can have the people that we're surrounding ourselves with are our fellow believers who can help build us up. Of course, provisions, I call this supplying sustenance, which is what can we do just to meet anybody's needs that they have. So it's taking care of one another, meeting any physical needs that we have, giving and helping. We have a good group that if somebody needs help, we typically have folks who are willing to go do that. But there's, and we I don't want to go, you know, we've talked about Acts and how those were together day by day, providing for the needs of one another. But it's really for us, it's how do we become more observant for what some of those needs might be, so that we can just do the little things that might make the big difference, that are going to help spur one another on and build that relationship that we have. If we want to continue to go beyond the spiritual component and have that the physical side as well and have that be the enhancement, we have to be paying attention to what other people might need and the things that they need to have in their life and start taking action as to what those are. And my last slide will be, it also is incumbent upon those of us who are anxious to want to serve others to be fine being served ourselves. We all have, believe it or not, we all have deficiencies in our lives. We all have things that we need. And maybe they are physical. Maybe it is some help with being, you know, things in the yard or the house or whatever it might be. But those are all opportunities for us to be able to get together with somebody and spend the time, and that's going to build those relationships. And then Josh talked before that it can be helping people. We're in fellowship with one another. We have other groups that are in fellowship with us. I think in a way that they're supporting Josh in the work that he is doing here. And so it is about meeting some of the needs that each other have, where the Philippians, here in Philippians 4, Paul talked about that they had sent him a gift more than once to meet his needs in verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift for me, a gift more than once for my needs. He said in 18, he received everything in full and have abundance, amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Have you thought about the way that you would serve other people and provide for the needs that they have as a fragrant aroma? Something that when God sees the things, that the sacrifice you're doing and what you're trying to support somebody else and provide for their means, that that is a something that's an acceptable sacrifice and well-pleasing to God. That's something for me to contemplate and to be more thoughtful about in how I'm serving and helping others, because it is through that physical action of being able to support and help others along the way. And finally, practicalities. And this is just a quick list of, we all have opportunities to serve, and this is just to get the juices flowing of what's the one thing you can do this week to serve somebody else, to be helpful or thoughtful to them. Does somebody need a ride, need transportation somewhere? Maybe not. A lot of us were able to drive here on our own, but hey, you know what? Offer to carpool with somebody. They give you a chance to hang out with them for a while in the vehicle for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes or something like that, and you can have a little conversation about things that are going on. Go a little shopping trip with somebody. Offer to take them out to do those things with them. Provide transportation. What skills do you have that could be helpful to somebody else? Or what better... this way to serve them, and maybe a way that you can serve other people is allowing them to teach you a new skill. Maybe that's not a great way to do it, but there's a lot of things I'd like to learn. Many of you are way more handy than I am. Maybe I give you an opportunity to serve by helping me understand how to do things around the house that I'm not able to do, and we get a chance to spend time together, and I save on not having to electrocute myself or call an electrician or something along, but more like electrocute myself with a medical bill that would come from that. But there's chances there where we can learn new skills or try new skills in serving one another. We talked about meals, but you can make a meal, or maybe instead of just taking the meal over, hey, I'm going to bring the ingredients over, but let's spend some time just making a meal together. And we can learn something new together while we're doing it, and maybe have a chance. We'll have a chance to talk, to sing, to do whatever the thing it is that we want to do. It's great to be able to bring something over, but maybe we spend time making the meal together instead of just bringing it over. All right, I've got I can do grunt work. So if you need grunt work done, I can be your guy for that. But some of us have more of you than me brain muscles as well. Maybe there's thoughtful things that we can do. There's problems or things that we're experienced that we're not able to do from that standpoint. We talked about this. Josh mentioned this. You know, we can be mentors, or we can spend time to help others. If they have questions, or at least offer them some guidance. Things that we've seen or done in our lives, we can serve them through that. I can learn something new. Maybe there's things that you know that I don't, and it takes knowing each other to be able to serve in that way. And I think Brent might talk about evangelism tomorrow, but I can hone my own evangelical skills by getting together with you and just having conversations about what has God done for me. And I can hopefully serve you by edifying you and helping to build you up, and we learn together about God's word and what we're supposed to do. And we have opportunities to collectively serve each other, but serve in the community as well. Those are opportunities where we can share in that common goal. We're supposed to do good for one another, for everybody out there, but especially for each other. And I appreciate Brent for what he does to bring people together to be able to do that. The times that we've gone over to the Salvation Army and cooked breakfast or lunch, been really meaningful and impactful. And it's, we're all in a little bit of a vulnerable spot. It's a little bit chaotic. There are a lot of cooks in that kitchen when you're over there. But it all comes together, and he brings some of his baseball kids, so it's other people that you don't get to see and interact with in that way. So there are certainly incredible amounts of opportunities for us to collectively serve together if we look for them. So just food for thought, if you will, on that. And then when we serve, it's going to allow us to grow personally. It shouldn't be all about us, but we can grow from that. We talked earlier about we have an opportunity to serve one another. We have opportunity in Galatians 5:13, but we allows us to grow individually. And as we serve, it's going to get the little flywheel going. It's going to beget more service, and we get better at serving and continue to do that as we move forward. It's going to stretch us. It's going to challenge us in different ways, but it's going to build that incredible bond between one another that if you've been in the trenches with somebody working together or doing things together, that bond of fellowship and that commonality of that goal is going to continue to be cemented more and more doing those things together. And I reflect upon that even like from our men's studies that we had, just spending time together. The iron sharpens iron, coming together for that. It's going to further unify us, bring us, allow us to really solidify what we have together from that fellowship standpoint. And importantly, ultimately, we're trying to get to heaven. It's going to allow us to just glorify God in the things that we do. We're going to let our light shine as Christ had told us to do, so that people can see the good works that we're doing, but it's because we're doing it because of God. It's going to allow us to have that reflection to Him and show Him, be able to have Him show in His glory. Okay, so where do we go from here? Wrapping up, let's make a commitment to serve. We have to be intentional about it, finding some time. And you have to find something that works for you, which doesn't mean I'll spend the next 6 months thinking about what might work for me. as I tell people, just try. Okay, you have to just try something, and if it didn't go great, that's okay. We're all gonna. It's all about learning. The wonderful thing is because we have a shared common goal, you're in a group of people who want you to succeed. People, everyone here loves you and what you're trying to do, and you're going to have a few misses along the way, but don't let that be something that's going to not allow you to take action or to do something. And if you don't know how somebody needs something done and you don't know how to do it, ask somebody else who does. You'll get a chance to learn how to do the thing from the person who does, and you get a chance to spend time together. They call that the triple win if there's more than two people involved. All right. So, action. That's what it's all about. Got to get moving. But remember, as I mentioned earlier, we must be willing to be served. Do not rob other people of the opportunity to serve you. If we're all seeking to serve, we're kind of like chasing our tails because there's nobody to be served. So we have to be willing to let others serve us. So we have to, at times, humble ourselves, just as the disciples had to do. They didn't want Christ to wash their feet. But he said, no, I'm not here. I'm here to serve, not to be served. So we have to allow others to do that for us. And in fact, Jesus accepted the service of others in Luke 8. After they had gone out preaching, the 12 were with him there in verse 1, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Christ needed people to support him in the work that he was doing, and his disciples needed the same thing, allowing them to be able to support them in what they were doing. So we need to support one another. In the same way, Paul was supported by many different people. I don't think Paul would have wanted to rob anybody of the opportunity to perhaps support him in what he was doing to further cement the fellowship that he had with those who were with him. Okay, so things to think about. There's all different ways that we can find to serve one another. Let's just make a commitment to doing that here. And maybe a commitment you can make to serving is you're the first one to schedule the love feast. And that would be your way to serve the group. And then that will catapult things from there. So anyway, some things to think about as we seek to build upon the common goal that we have and work with each other to pursue the goal of being one with Christ and being one with one another.